Tonight, Senator Dan Katowski will cover the state's latest with Patty. Warren, our and your car guy, answers your car questions. And finally, Chicago Tribune political cartoonist Scott Stantis drops by to cover all with Patty. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, man, that voice you heard is our producer tonight behind the glass. Running the show and taking your phone calls is Elif Garris. Craig Collins is on the road to Detroit. And actually, that's his midway point. He's on his way to New York to a wedding. And we'll be hearing from him after midnight because he competed in his very first eating competition. Competitive eating, Elif. Which doesn't sound like a great idea when you're going to get in a car for many, many hours. Senator, are you okay? Do you have some trouble with the headphones? I don't. Senator Katowski's in the studio with us. Here, let me help you. You go ahead. Give me your headphones.
I was just thinking about the stomach for meatballs. I was thinking.
Have you ever had
eating competition? Last time I saw an eating competition in a movie was meatballs. Bill Murray, and then
about the day camp.
The guy is the stomach, right? And he comes in and he eats. But there's also the one that's rewrites a story in Stand By Me, I think. There's an eating contest. I don't know
that
why.
That sounds correct.
It is correct.
I've been in one eating contest. It was a pie eating contest when I was in Girl Scout camp. Right here. You go. Perfect. And it was where it was a lemon meringue. And my friend Sue, let's call her Sue because that was her name. She had to put her arms through my armpits and she had to feed me. So
no
I couldn't.
Way.
Oh, it's so mean. So you're just getting food shoveled into your mouth without your control. That was the only eating.
How did you do in the contest?
I won. And I haven't had lemon meringue since, by the way. I was like 9 years old. I have not eaten it since.
Is it sort of like the same principle when you like throw up a food and you're like,
can't do it again.
You can't do it again?
Well, that's more for alcohol. But
did you have the worst stomach aches? I would think lemon and acid.
I was oddly just fine. I've never been in an eating contest since. It's, you know, when you think about eating contests and you always think of, you know, like whether it's some image from movies or television. I met two champions today. I met Juan Morbite Rodriguez and Michelle Cardboard Shell. I don't know her last name. She is 130 pounds and she is the reigning champion from the Rib Fest professional eating competition from last year. She's 130 pounds, Senator.
Wow.
I know.
So how many ribs is she known for?
4.5 pounds in 7 minutes.
Goodness gracious.
I know.
Does she just heave afterwards or she?
No, that's the thing. You can't. You can't have a reversal of fortune, which is.
Well, how long does you, you keep the fortune going forward?
I think during the competition. I did not ask her if she then purges afterwards, if that's what you're asking.
That is what I'm asking.
Yes, I did not ask that question.
Well, it wasn't like, so it's not like a negative connotation. It just seems like it's hard physically to handle 4.5 pounds of
ribs. To digest, right.
In that short a period of time.
It seems unhealthy.
It does seem unhealthy.
A little bit. She and Juan, a physical trainer from New Lenox, he also seemed just fine. You know what? I will ask them this weekend because they're competing tomorrow. And then I'm actually judging the ribs in general on Sunday. Like there are 16 vendors. And I'm not doing a contest, but I have to sample all the ribs.
See, I'm more struck by the fact that you said that I wasn't in an eating contest since then.
Like, since I was 9 years old?
Since that you aspired to do that.
I plateaued. You go out as a champion. If you win a contest, I think that's good enough.
You just walk away.
You walk away. I've won one. I've competed in only one and won only one comedy competition. As far as like, well, I did Last Comic Standing, not as a choice, but I was thrown into that because Zany's asked me to. But as far as like a comedy club competition, I've done one, entered in one voluntarily, and won it, and walked away. I've never done another one since. It's very
you're like
stressful.
Like Sandy Koufax.
Not Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, sure you are.
No.
Take it.
No, because baseball and stand-up comedy are two different things. I didn't spend my early childhood, slinging jokes against a wall.
I guess I'm wrong then.
Yeah. Well, no.
Thanks for pointing out to everybody in 37 states and 9 countries.
No, because baseball.
I'm not going to get through this.
There's a strike zone.
Thank
right?
you for pointing out to me the
you're
difference.
You're not wrong. 38 states in Canada.
38 in Canada.
And also globally, because we're online as well.
My point, you could have been cultivating. Well, yeah, I think if we want to take this, you don't think you've been cultivating your sense of humor and your ability to be funny since you were a kid, even if you weren't doing it structurally?
The difference being there is an ump.
right? There's only one person that decides where the strike zone is for Sandy Colfax, right? There's a specified strike zone.
There are a constant group of umps out there when you are trying to be funny.
There are thousands of umps.
Right.
Right now, there are easily a quarter million umps.
I wonder how we're doing.
Exactly. And some of them are going right over the plate.
Like, this is
some of them
good.
Are low and outside.
You're wrong about the Koufax. I was just trying to compliment you. I wanted to get off on a good note.
I appreciate it. Let's go back. Like, can you say it again?
No, you're like the Sandy Kaczynski of no, I'm just kidding. Sandy Koufax.
No, I'll take that.
That means you're very good.
That's very nice of you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you went out there and you just delivered and then you walked away.
And you are the Sandy Koufax of senators. You
thank
walked
you.
Away.
I did it. The yes. peak of my game.
Yeah, we should get an ump on that. More on this on 720 WGN. I turned the TV on while you were talking. I apologize. I was trying to see if we had any radar down here, but I'll turn the TV off now. It did feel like that kind of night where it's kind of cool out for summer evening, and it feels like there are storms lingering somewhere.
This has been building.
It's been, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting it now.
It's a little strange. It's supposed to be a very hot weekend.
So be careful.
Yes, please do.
You bet.
What are your plans for this weekend, Rob?
I don't want it to rain because my shed saga continues. I've got to get the old shed from my backyard so that they can come in and build the new shed. So
it's a big pile of shed.
It's a huge shed.
Meet the new shed, same as the old shed.
Exactly. This thing is like it's 10 by 12. It's got 9 foot high ceilings. It's huge.
Are you making it? Is that you?
Are you kidding me? You
barely I don't
change
know.
A light bulb.
He's got four kids. Wow.
Yeah, I got four kids. No, we.
You seem like a very handy guy.
Yeah. No, you know what we did? We got those. You know those green, those big green bags you can get at Home Depot.
Yes.
And you open them up and you dispose of the stuff yourself. So I'm doing that.
All right.
I mean, I took the thing apart. I just can't put the new one together.
That's enjoyable to do that, isn't it?
You know what? It was very therapeutic. I got out there with the sledgehammer and the crowbar and just
great.
Went at it.
Just
sort of
wrenching it apart. Do you have do you have a deck or do you have like a patio
we have
area?
A patio.
You have a patio. Is it a stone patio or a wood patio?
Cement.
Cement. How do you like that?
Love it.
Is that better than having a wood deck?
It is less maintenance.
That's what we're thinking about taking out our deck, which is it's like just a low deck. It's made out of wood that we've been restaining for like the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
My mom wants to put like some slabs of stone out there, and we're thinking about doing that. We have a very small yard. I want a swing in my yard. Like a, not a hammock. They have these, you know. Yeah.
Like a glider?
Individual a glider sinks. Might be nice. Yeah.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah, I think that'd be. Do you have a big yard?
It's, you know, it's moderately big. It's much bigger than my yard was. You know, I grew up in, we had sort of a postage stamp size yard.
Right.
Where we grew
that's
up.
What I have in
and then I always say to my wife, Ann, I'm like, oh my God, this yard is so huge. She's like, oh no, it isn't.
Where did she grow up?
She grew up in Northbrook. It's just like, you're kidding. Well, you had like a football field. And I look at the yard, I was like, there's a nice big tree. The kids can play baseball and you know, and have fun. Well, not like baseball, like
play catch.
Play catch.
Yeah.
But also play wiffle ball and hit the ball over the fence. And I'm like, if I had something like that, I mean, I remember when the snowstorm occurred and we were like, doing flips off our garage into
when
the snow in this little mini area. And
see, by the way, I was listening to Nick D last night with Esmeralda, and they were talking about a game that I actually remember, which was Catch One, Catch All. Did you ever play that? Where one person was
right.
And then they had to go find everybody, and then like that person that you caught, then...
We call it Chase. But
you
call
it Chase?
Yeah.
Esmeralda, you weren't quite familiar with it.
No, I'd never played that
Catch One,
before.
Catch All.
I mean, we played tag and freeze tag and stuff like that, but never that.
We played Catch One. I think that's a North Chicago. I mean, you grew up in the North Side.
Sure,
Chicago.
That was it. I mean, what we did, I remember we would just run all over the neighborhood.
I know.
And it was in the dark, and you know, didn't worry about it.
I don't think Griffins ever run around the neighborhood. Like, I feel bad because I can't remember not running around riding my bike, going to Norwood Park, going to Superdog or Roma's, or, you know, we would go play Pac-Man at Roma's, which was across Milwaukee Avenue,
which
is a massive street. I don't think I've ever, like Griffin walked home from choir one time and I freaked out, and it was two blocks away at the Senior Citizens Retirement Home on Northwest Highway. And I freaked out because he walked home.
Yeah.
The kids don't go out and play.
I remember being 10 years old taking the L to see the Cubs.
Yeah.
We took the Lunt bus, and then we took the L all the way down to Addison, and we're there. A bunch of kids who are like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And our parents are working, and we were just hanging out all day long at Wrigley Field.
When I was a kid, I didn't know east, west, north, south. Like, I know exactly now. I don't know when that happens, when you're able to figure out where the lake is. I know now exactly where the lake is, north, south. I can do it very easily in my head, only in Chicago, not necessarily anywhere else in the country. But my mother worked at Rush and Chicago Avenue, around there. And she told me the directions. And she did this twice to me where she told me to get on the train, get on the bus. And I went to Lane Tech. I took two buses and a train to get to school. So she told me to get off and take Chicago Avenue. And she told me which way to go. And right. I don't know if she told me left or right or whatever it was. I took Chicago Avenue, not going east.
You went west. You went west,
yeah. Yeah, and it got. I didn't know where I was. No cell phones in the 90s. Just walking. Just kept walking. Just convinced I was going in the right direction. And then I had to ask people for a little bit of help to get back.
I was talking to today in my office, a woman who's looking to get involved in nonprofit work. And she remembered working downtown. And then, you know, when you get to like 6 o'clock, they said you'd leave downtown over there and you'd walk, you know, across the river because it was towards where we're on Michigan Avenue because it was nicer. Because do you remember what it was like over by the Daily Center?
It was
very
desolate.
Sketchy.
Yeah. Well, there was nobody downtown. And if they were, you weren't sure if you're going to be accosted, like, you know, asked for something or which
and it wasn't even just that. It was just like there was like, there was like XXX movie theaters around all over the place.
You know,
it
like in an old Western Elif when like tumbleweeds are coming down the street, like there'd be newspapers rolling down the street the same way.
Completely.
Like you're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. It was just not,
not welcoming.
Not what it is like now. It's so beautiful.
It was sketchy. Yeah. It's very nice now. It's
my folks would drop us off. You went to U of I as well. Mm-hmm. And we'd like, well, we're going to take the bus. And they drop us off I remember the first time taking the Greyhound and thinking, oh, that's great. We're going to take the bus and being dropped at the station and being like, what the heck?
What do you think?
What are you doing? Dropping us off here. And then we get out. I was like, take the bus with my brother. And I remember we'd try and study. And you could never study on the
On Greyhound,
bus.
No.
You couldn't study because there were smacking gum.
Yeah. Really loud. Okay, let's stop there for a second.
Why?
I don't know. The smacking gum thing. I've never understood people who... It's a compulsion for people who do it.
Yeah.
And you can't ask someone to stop doing it.
You could because we felt like it was like, hey, could you mind not cracking your gum?
And some people don't know they're doing it, I think. They're snapping and popping it. I tried talking about this the other day. Esmeralda, have you ever been around someone who can like, I don't even know what that is. Like they flip it and they pop it.
There's something, I'm assuming like an air bubble.
Yes.
In there that they're able to do that. I can't do that.
I can't do it. And I'm so often tempted to ask someone to please stop.
I remember having like a tick in the library, like my body would just be, every time it would happen, I would get a jolt. And and I was like, oh my God, how am I going to handle this? Right. And literally just walking to another part of the library. I can't
away from the sound.
I can't be there. And then the sound kind of finds its way to you, like it's if you know. Oh, I know this guy's irritated by my gum smacking. I will find it. Like the person will get up, and so that's why that's where I developed this habit of trying to listen to, you know, classical music just to or some kind of music to just tone it out.
I have a new thing where if something stresses me out, I try to visualize something that makes me. This is a weird thing. I try to explain this to Griffin, and he doesn't quite get it. And I don't think anyone else will either. When I get really stressed out, when there's an idea I keep twirling around in my head, I imagine that it's a piece of laundry that I just have to shake out in like outside in the sunshine and put it on the clothesline and let it just air itself out. I don't know. It's really I just need something to visualize it.
Yeah.
I used to do it where it would be a piece of paper and I would crumble it up and throw it away. But that's like almost too violent as though like I don't know. But I'm at this point now where when someone whether it's a topic or a person or whatever, it's bothering me. Elif and I were talking about this, about catcalling, right? Where we're trying to compartmentalize and move on from people not understanding that we don't want to be accosted. Elif and I were talking about this for the show tonight. We were going to talk about whether it's catcalling or the entitlement that men have to make comment on how we look in public. Elif, you were surprised after we had the conversation, this happened to you?
Yes, after.
Yeah.
After the conversation, I was at Union Station and I had my backpack and I'm completely covered. I just have black jeans and a black sweater on.
Uh-huh.
Totally gender neutral outfit. And this guy goes, dang.
Yeah.
Dang. Like,
right.
Hello?
And because you didn't accept the first dang.
Obviously, it was a way with words.
Well, that's the thing is that he said dang twice. And I'm guessing, did you feel like he felt like he had to impress upon you that he'd said it once? Now he's going to say it again.
I'm not sure if it was that or if he was just exclaiming to himself.
like he was like saying it to no one in particular.
Yeah. Dang.
It always struck me that guys are out there actually think that works.
I mean,
what kind of scenario where that actually would feel like they would make a connection with somebody?
Hey, Esmeralda, do me a favor. Give me a smile.
Dang.
This is what men say. They tell us to give them a smile, or they say they don't like your hair a certain way. Or yeah.
This is I was campaigning. And there was a guy running for Congress, and anybody who didn't smile at him, he'd say, "Smile."
Who's this? Tell me.
Smile.
Tell me who did that.
Huh?
Who did that?
It was Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh said smile.
It's 5:30 in the morning.
That's all right.
Smile.
That's all right. Rick Pearson doesn't like my braids. More after this on 728 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I have a 2005 Honda Odyssey, and when I make a left turn, it makes this noise. Ka-dunk, 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 ka-dunk. What does your car do? What kind of noises is your car making that you maybe want to ask Warren? Is it Price?
Price.
Warren Price of European and U.S. Auto. Located at North Broadway and Irving Park Road.
4080 North Broadway.
4080 North Broadway.
Yeah.
And we're taking all your car questions because we got a car guy. We also have Senator Dan Katowski in studio with us. You were talking cars, I could tell.
We were talking cars.
And we are now having way too much food and now going to have way too much fun because Carissa Schaefer of Knife and Tine. Don't break your chair, Wiley. Our sommelier later on is going to be doing some wine pairings for us. Oh, do you have a? Is that a seltzer, like a sparkling water? Oh, do you have a sparkling water as well in those short bottles?
No, this is ready to pump.
What is that?
Water.
It's just water. Can the
it's
senator
fancy,
have?
It has a fancy name.
It is a fancy name. Can the senator have? I know that he doesn't have any alcohol. Also, Warren, you don't consume beverages of the alcoholic nature, do you?
Only at the right time, at the right place, with the right person.
This seems like the right time, right place, right person.
We'll just pour it right down your throat.
Okay.
Yeah, right down your throat.
I'm in.
Knife and Tine is celebrating their second anniversary.
Bravo.
And tomorrow you kick off your brand new menu for the happy hour.
That we do.
Every day you have half-off drinks and appetizers.
Ooh. It's half-off drinks. And yeah, this crazy awesome bar menu. It's cheap, eats, yummy.
Your spoon bread is the best thing I've ever had.
It's on there.
And by the way, Senator Katowski, I was telling you that I work out a lot, but this, I have an issue with my muffin top. I attribute it entirely to... it's not a muffin top, it's a spoon bread top, just so you know. Yes. It's not where you're looking.
I didn't even look at it, so...
Honey,
if you're listening, I didn't look at it.
I haven't gone back to my Spanx yet, but... do you need headphones?
No, we'll find Carissa.
Yeah. It's just me talking to her right now. When we get callers, we will definitely make sure she has headphones. Okay, so I have this 2000... And you were telling me, Warren, to bring it in, because it could be anything with the left turn and the thunk, the thunk.
The thunk, the thunk, the thunk. Yeah. There's no piece of wood stuck in there, is
there's
there?
There's no stick in my wheel well.
Okay.
Not right now, no.
Okay.
No, sir. Senator Katowski, were you asking about your car as well?
We were talking about...
I apologize for
interrupting. No. We were talking about... I bought a hybrid, and I have a Honda hybrid and a Accord, and it's the thing I was talking to Warren about is that it's so light.
Yes.
You know, and it if you grew up in the city, and if you drive on 55, having a light car doesn't give you a great feeling of comfort. You know, while it's really fuel efficient, right, it's just...
What year is it?
It's 2014. You know?
Manufacturers today are making sure that their car is extremely light so it gets extra gas mileage.
Right.
Yeah, because the requirements are changing as
totally,
the federal,
yeah.
You know,
they're
needs
using
for...
different materials in the vehicle in manufacturing to make them lighter.
And that's more of a, like, sensibility thing because I grew up, believe me, my dad drove a... I learned how to drive on a 79 Ford LTD.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You were protected. Huge. Very strong.
That car was huge. I mean, it was like... When you would turn the wheel, it was like navigating a big ship because you'd turn the wheel and then you just let it go and it spun all the way back the other way.
Didn't it have those little tines on the end?
Not just that, but it also had the headlights with the that went up and down like eyelids.
The retractable?
Yes, retractable light covers. Uh-huh. So you'd and like nice. One would get stuck, so it always looked like my car was
winking.
It was winking, yeah.
It did.
Her car's flirting with me.
I had this big maroon Ford LTD that I
two-tone?
Drove. It was not two-tone. It was just burgundy, maroon, whatever color you would call it. And then the car he actually left me was an 89. So I learned how to drive in a 79 Ford LTD, and he left me an 89 Crown Vic. Same car,
he
basically.
Liked Fords.
Yeah, he liked
wow.
it. He liked caddies, actually. If he could have afforded caddies, that would have been the car I would have had.
Okay.
But yeah, he liked those big American cars. Do people still strive to buy American cars? Because I think it doesn't really seem to matter as much anymore.
People strive definitely to buy American cars, mm-hmm. you know, as it is right now. Toyota's the number one seller of vehicles, and it's followed by General Motors and Ford.
Right.
You know, so you're looking at Ford. I drive a Ford. My everyday car
Your
is a
edge?
Ford. My edge.
I know.
Right?
I've seen your edge.
I have an edge.
The reason I know that is because I have recently bought a car, a used car, and he was giving me some options.
Mm-hmm.
And would you believe that we try out several different SUVs and none of them would fit our wheelchair for Declan? We tried an Edge. We tried a Chevy Equinox. None of those, like the back,
yeah.
whatever you call the hatch part, we couldn't fit it. The Toyota Prius.
The storage area.
Toyota Prius fits our wheelchair. Yeah. It's very strange. A little hatchback hybrid car fits our wheelchair for Declan.
Yeah, and you can put that car inside both of the cars yeah. that you just talked about.
Amazing, isn't it?
That's why I bought the car.
I mean, what people
space
consider.
Planning.
Yeah.
Right.
It's space planning. You know, I have to say that the manufacturing that's done for Toyota is way up there.
Yeah, it is remarkable.
Way up there.
And it's an older car. It's not a brand new car. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, driving it, and I drive my Honda, and I like that car a lot, my Odyssey. But we test drove a lot of different cars, whether renting it or just trying them out. And this Prius, the 2010, it drives so elegantly.
It's is that comfortable.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And you're helping the environment.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. that too. I know. I like. It's kind of a game now too, because you can tell how much you're charging and how
right.
much. Because it has that little thing. It shows
sure.
you if you're getting like 30 miles to the gallon or 50 miles to the gallon or 100 miles. I'm like, how? Yeah.
Have you gone to Springfield yet in it?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because I took the fan van
okay.
to Springfield,
okay.
which does not get the same mileage
no.
as the Toyota Prius.
Or to that farm or wherever else you go.
I go to Peru, Illinois.
Peru,
so I'll be going in July. Yes.
Okay.
I had not gotten the car yet. Speaking of, by the way, we have all of our guests in the studio. If you have any questions for anyone, right now it is our conversation with our car guy, Warren Price of European and U.S. Auto Body at 4080 North Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And our number is 312-981-7200 if you have any questions for Warren. By the way, Craig is on the road right now in a rental car.
Good.
Yes.
Because I have to talk to him tomorrow about
don't give him any bad news on the air.
He's probably listening.
Yes, I know.
Hi, Craig.
Why is your voice so high? Do you have bad news?
Hi, Craig.
Oh, no.
No, I have news.
You have
news.
There's
no good news or bad news about
information.
Any car. I have data.
You have information,
I have data. It has to be digested.
Well, Craig has a car that has Carissa. He has a car with a death wobble.
Oh, I know. And I heard him saying that he was going to use it. And I was like, he's insane.
No,
he's not going to make it.
No, he did not go to Detroit or New York in his...
Thank goodness.
95 Jeep Cherokee with a death wobble. Can we ask a Wiley, as somebody who maybe watches a lot of cars go by, are there cars in particular that you notice tend to maybe speed by more than other cars? Are people like in maybe Porsches, they seem to like disregard the rules of the road?
I think I see more crashes with Toyota Corollas.
Really?
And maybe people speeding by in Audis.
What?
You're going to see more Corollas because they sell more of those.
Oh, interesting.
Than the other cars that you're going to see, because they are number one.
Toyota
is the number one seller
okay.
of automobiles. So you're going to see more Toyotas than anything else. You're going to see a lot of Audis because a lot of people in the Audi world drive a little bit faster
mm-hmm.
and they text more.
They do not text more.
There's
no data on that, sir.
Well, okay.
All right.
I've seen a lot of front end wrecks.
From Audis?
From Audis.
Okay, everyone in your Audi, stop texting right now.
No texting.
You're throwing the curve for everybody else. You're
right.
ruining it for every other
what
Audi
is,
member.
What is your opinion of the Audi, though, as a
I
car?
Think the Audi has made a major reversal from the 70s and 80s. And they were a death trap. They had a brake issue.
Yeah, but they weren't the Pinto.
No.
I mean,
or the Vega.
No,
or the Vega.
No, the Vega. They weren't the Pinto or the Vega. They were the Audi, but that
wouldn't
never stop.
I never heard anything bad about Audis. I didn't know that was a reputation.
Oh, it
Did
was,
you? No.
No, I think you're all no. too young.
No,
yeah, but Pintos are on that era.
Well, Pinto is known for, like, they forgot to say pimento, so they called it a Pinto.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, but Audi has made a major comeback. They're a very luxurious, beautiful, great driving vehicle.
Okay. I was not aware that there was a reputation for them.
That's the only car that I look at and I think, maybe one day.
Me too.
They're hot. Yeah.
Really?
A white one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw
Don't
a cat.
Don't get pearl.
Don't pick pearl
white.
The color? Pearl
Don't
white?
Get pearl.
Why?
Worst color to paint.
Oh, what's a good color? Okay, speaking of paint, and we're going to take a break after this. So the car I've bought is silver. There are so many silver Toyota Priuses of the same year, by the way. I've driven today alone. Today's my first day, full day driving my new car. It's 2010. I saw four. And you told me you will not paint my car.
I will not change the color of your
Why
car.
Why will you not change the color of
because
my car?
Because you'll lose half the value.
I'm not going to what if I don't want to what are you throwing your arms up at me?
Why I'm not buying it. Why? I mean, it's just an extra cost. It's
throwing away money.
Okay. What about the radio? Can I get a new radio?
That radio, I talked to Dr. Simas.
Yes.
And he says it works.
I love this. There's a radio
Okay, you're
going
to show me how to put the CD in
no,
there?
No, but I think we're going to get Dr. Simas to do that.
All right.
I'm going to drag him in.
All right, Dr.
Patty,
Simas.
I'll paint your car.
Is Dr. Simas
Esmeralda,
your expert?
Yeah, we're just going Home Depot.
No, it's a story.
Okay.
He's the previous owner of the car.
Yeah, he knows the previous owner.
Oh,
have you been the mechanic of this car since its entire...
No. For the last about 2 years.
Okay. Because here's the thing with mechanics, and we can all agree on this. They're always going to say, I don't know who worked on this last, but they really did a number on your automobile.
No. It's not...
Right?
True.
Uh-huh. Because you've done that
There's
to
nothing
me.
I can do with it.
I don't know.
Maybe a little
excuse
bit.
Excuse me, ma'am. I proved it.
Yes. You proved what?
I proved what happened.
Yes, but now you are the mechanic on the car. You are the mechanic.
I am brave and I am ready.
You are the mechanic on record for 2 years on this vehicle.
Yes, I am.
I just wanted it to be
so
known.
So let me give you history. He bought the car with 38,000 miles on it. You bought it with 116.
Yes.
Okay, I only worked on it the last 20.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
Okay.
And what does
How's
that answer?
Running? How's You're, it running?
It's... okay, so I have a question about the brakes. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by our very good friends from Knife and Tine, sommelier Wiley, restaurateur Carissa. We also have Warren Priest. I said it wrong. Price of European and your and you.
I've had trouble with Vasquez, haven't I?
I know. I'm not getting back at you. I'm not getting back at you at all, sir. European and U.S. Auto Body at 4080 North Broadway, right there. Is it Uptown Lakeview?
It's considered Uptown because you're north of Irving by 247 yards.
It's over there.
It's over there.
You're our car guy.
I'm the car guy from over there, and at Irving, right in the middle. Once you go south, it's Lakeview.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so if you go a little bit west, it's Wrigleyville.
Right.
And if you go a little bit east, you're wet.
We. right, because of the lake. Got it. Right. I was so confused.
Hello.
Senator, what do you think I meant? How's your beignet?
So good.
What happened before the beignet?
I don't know. We are enjoying some wonderful food from Knife and Tine, including the burger. Is this up for the competition online?
It is. Mm-hmm.
And how can people vote for Chef Paul's fantastic
you
burger?
You just have to go to Blended Burger Project and just look up Knife and Tine, and there's our burger.
There's the burger, Chef
there
Paul.
It is.
It's got a fried green tomato on it. Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. It's a fried green tomato.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Everything's better with a fried green tomato.
I think it was the first one I've ever had.
Really? Mm-hmm. What? Oh, their anniversary is tomorrow. Come hang out with us tomorrow or possibly some other time.
What's the connection between the fried green tomato and the anniversary?
They're going to have more of it on the menu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I see. I need the help.
Knife and Tine is
Happy
located.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Why, thank you.
We are going to have a live karaoke band in studio, live band karaoke in July for the 2-year anniversary of you being on Pretty Late for the first time as well.
Oh, and so that's the anniversary.
Of them being in studio. This is their anniversary.
It was their
of
wedding anniversary.
Oh, when is your wedding anniversary? It was recently.
Let's ask Wiley. When's our wedding anniversary?
Wiley. Oh, no. It's a trap. It's a trap.
Put him on it. You remember the date? Should we stall a little
Go
bit
on.
So you can think?
September or something.
Is it always
Stop
the men?
It.
Okay, just to be fair, Wiley, I also can never remember my anniversary because we kept moving the date. It was always between July 1st and July 2nd. So I always think it's right. We were in a parking lot at Great America one day, and Steve and I were getting the kids and getting them back into the car and, you know, folding up the wheelchair and getting Griffin all strapped in. And I stopped and I was like, and I ran up and I gave Steve a big kiss because it was our anniversary. We both had totally forgotten.
Sweet. We were in Great America once, and she was getting the lockers for us.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I get it back in the locker. She's like, go ahead. It's our anniversary is the code to get in there. I was like, oh, forget about it. I guess
good luck. You don't know.
Well,
I don't need my towel anymore.
You don't know the
I'm sorry. I'm okay.
Forget it.
Everything's fine.
I don't need anything in the locker.
Let's go get a soda. Speaking of occasions, I want to say something to my two daughters.
Yes.
Because they graduated yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
And I was so proud of them. The graduating class from Rogers Park Montessori, they were awesome. Everybody at the school is great. But Lily and Claire, mwah, I love you. You were great.
Oh, sweet.
Thank you for letting me say that.
Of course. Yeah. Warren and I were at a currency exchange getting my title for my new car, and we were both playing video of our kids being in plays. His daughters are like the leads. I'm like, here's Griffin in the chorus doing great. We were both like very proud of our kids. Your daughters are beautiful.
My kids are great. I'm very happy.
We have a texter and a caller, but let's go with the texter first because I know their question has been on the screen for a while, Elif, for Warren, our car guy.
Yes. So 219 asks, what is a layman's def? Whoa. Okay. We just got another text and the screen moved. What is a layman's definition of horsepower?
Horsepower? Ooh. Well, that's inside the engine. You have these four-legged, furry, tall. Horsepower is the power that's put out by the quantity of cylinders, the size of the engine. Like if you have a 307 Ford, there's a horsepower of maybe 50 horses or 60 horses. It's actually reduced. The layman terms, horsepower is just what the engine's going to put out.
There you go. And I always think that's affected by the weight of the car as well. Regardless of how much power you have, if it's a heavier car and you have a four-cylinder but a bigger car, it's going to be a little bit harder to get it gunning.
You still have the same horses, but you're not going to go very fast because of the weight. The engine's going to go,
and the car's going to be like,
putt, 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 putt.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We have a listener on the line who has a question as well. Hey, Jerry, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you tonight?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, Warren, I have a question for you with regards to all these flooded cars that might be coming up from down in the southern states, like Texas and places like that. Other than using my nose to smell the flooded car, is there some particular area of the car, some hidden part of the car where the water might still be if I'm inspecting the car to buy it as a used car?
You're going to buy it as a used car. It's a totaled vehicle that I'm assuming an insurance company took from the client who was waterlogged. Yes, there are things to look for. You have to find fuse boxes. You have to look at the edges of the tips of the fuses where you'll see a bluing where it's starting to corrode. It happens literally immediately. If you can pull up the carpeting, maybe you'll see some plugs where the seat belts plug into the floor to give you your seatbelt warning system. You can pull those, and maybe you'll see something. But more than anything, you have to look at the fuse boxes. And lift up the carpet.
Yeah.
You want to look at the cushion underneath the carpet. The carpet could be dry on top, and underneath it could still be moist.
And that can really indicate a lot of damage to the structure of the car.
The car is going to be an electrical nightmare for almost forever. The problem with it is also when you...
Can we come back to... Jerry, we're going to answer the rest of your question in a moment. I have to take a quick break right here, just so you know. And I don't want to interrupt the rest of the question when you come back on 720 WGN.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's Thursday night, but it feels like the weekend has already started because I have so many of my favorite guests right here in the studio. Senator Dan Gutowski, who was actually the very first guest I ever had in studio on my very first show on a Sunday night. Do you know?
I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And Carissa Schaefer, who is my first, like, in love with a restaurant guest that I ever had.
Aww.
She tweeted at me and told me never order carryout pizza again. She would bring me food, and she has done so ever since.
That's
with the best
awesome.
Food in Chicago.
Food is terrific.
It really is.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I know Wiley's going to do some wine pairings with us later. Also, we have Warren Price of European and U.S. Auto Body at 4080 North Broadway. He takes
Hello.
Great care of my car, and I trust him somewhat. And we... I'm teasing you. No, it's the who worked on this before, because not for nothing, he did a bad job. We also have Scott Stantis, one of the best political cartoonists in the world. Just in the world. It's not even the United States. Chicago Tribune political cartoonist. And I know he's got, like, that. You know what? The politicians never cease giving you content, do they?
Oh, gosh.
It's so much stuff out there.
Just when you think things can't get weirder.
That's...
And Patty Vasquez has called all of it correctly.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to think. Right? I have my thoughts, but we'll arrive at okay. some of those. We'll fess them out a little bit later. But we have some guests. Oh, we lost one of our callers. So okay, I want to go with a text first, and then we have a very special listener who I know has been on hold for a little bit. I hope he's not like at a rest area having a tough time. What's the one text that you've been waiting on, Elif, for Warren, our car guy?
From the 847 area code, I have a 98 Ford Ranger. She has been an awesome truck.
Aww.
Now at 288,000 miles, no major issues, decent mileage, but would like to go hybrid. Recommendations? I need the truck because I am a gardener and always hauling stuff, plants, etc. for projects and friends.
Well, if you're going to go new and you like the product that you just spent all these years with, I would go back to a Ford.
The Escape has a hybrid as well, don't they?
The Escape is a model of a Ford.
Okay.
Okay.
What does that mean?
It means an Escape.
Don't they make a hybrid?
Patty just did what I do to every mechanic.
We're talking about a pickup truck.
Right. Are there any hybrids that are pickup trucks?
I would have to say yes. I would think that Ford definitely probably has three or four different models.
But
I
know that they have a hybrid Escape.
Yes.
So why? I mean, that's a good hauling car for.
But it wouldn't be an
gardening.
Open bed.
Oh, open bed they want you for see, their yeah, gardening.
For gardening, you're going to need an open bed because what if you're going to put 8-foot arborvitus plants in the back of your truck?
The flatbed. Gotcha.
Yeah, you're not going to lay them down. You have to have them standing up.
Well, there you go. No. So yeah. Go with Ford and maybe a hybrid.
Go back to Ford. It's been successful for you.
You just did what I do to every mechanic. You do the man thing, which is the it's open. You're looking at the engine and. He's saying exactly what you're saying, things like that, and you go, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What you said.
So, I mean, they could just make words up. The fluorglass, and it's, of course, attached to the gas tank.
Well, every time you go to a doctor and he starts explaining something to you, do you really think you understand
what
they're
making words up.
Yeah.
That's why I like Googling things.
Yeah.
Speaking of...
right when they're there. Right there.
Just, yeah, right. That's
right
not what
doctor's appointment.
That's not what WebMD says.
Yeah. Wikipedia says you're way wrong.
Hello, we have someone who's on the road in a rental car, I believe. Craig, how are you doing?
Hey, Patty, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
We're doing very well. We miss you in studio, but Elif is holding down the fort and handling everything well. Where are you?
I'm actually only in South Bend, Indiana. We aborted the mission to go to Detroit because when I got home from the Rib Fest, I wasn't exactly feeling a 4.5-hour drive.
Oh, no.
And Betty was still asleep from all the traveling she did, so we took a little extra time.
Okay.
We made it to South Bend, so it's an hour less of a trip now. It's about a 3.5-hour drive to Detroit, and we're going to do that in 4-ish hours.
Tomorrow.
So she's asleep again. I'm not. I'm just going to stay up and keep driving.
Oh, wait a minute. So
you're in the car.
So you're where have you?
No, my brother lives in South Bend. I'm at my brother's house.
So she's sleeping. Yeah. You're hunkering down for the night in South Bend, and then
correct.
Why are you staying up then?
I don't know. Partly for this phone call, I guess.
Oh, no. You could have called in the first hour. I apologize for making you stay up.
No problem at all.
How are you feeling?
Scott gave me a good idea. I'm going to go check out the engine on my Nissan Versa Note and see how awesome it is.
Yeah, you just nod your head knowingly.
Yes. And Craig, how are you feeling after your very first rib eating competition?
I didn't do too well. I didn't perform so well, but I'm okay. I think that my pace was a good pace for a guy that was about to drive cross country within a few hours of doing that. So I feel okay.
And have you watched the Facebook video that I posted of yourself eating?
I have. I've seen all of it and all the comments. It was epic. So I hear.
Well, did you catch the video of the? Now, I don't know if it made it, but the guy, the one of the former champions. Did you see his reversal of fortune?
I very much appreciate the fact that you warned me because when I saw it was about to happen, I was able to skip over that part of the video.
Yeah,
so I have not watched the full reversal of fortune.
Yeah, I felt bad because I was live videoing that on Facebook,
and it
was not my intention to catch something like that, obviously, and I had to apologize to anyone who was watching it live.
And he was supposed to win the whole thing, so I was surprised that was the guy that wound up doing that.
Yes. Yeah, he puked.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he puked it right in front. Yeah.
Did you starve yourself before the contest?
Craig?
I did not. I had lunch about 3 or 4 hours before the contest, so that might have also been a mistake.
What do they recommend? Did you read up on what you
needed to do? Did you talk to experts in the field, or
he had less?
What kind of training do you?
He had less than 12 hours to get anything done before this.
Did you see a yoga instructor?
These are all really good questions that I wish I had asked myself before doing this event. I did not. I had no training whatsoever.
And the nice thing is that we now have Juan More Bite Rodriguez is going to be. Is going to be Craig's trainer.
Bite. That's a great name.
He's a champion. Yeah. And also Michelle Cardboard Shell. I don't know her last name. She's also a champion. 130 pounds won last year eating 4.5 pounds of pork in 7 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, that happened.
Were they gluten-free ribs?
Yeah. How did that affect your tummy, Craig?
Yes.
I am actually not sure about that, but I'm just not going to think about it ever again. I'm going to go that road.
I did not have
your
a chance.
Your stomach will let you know in a little while.
Well, it's pretty quick, I think, for Craig. Isn't it, Craig, usually?
I can't believe this is what we're talking about, Patty. I just wanted to update you on my road.
So, you're pretty quick.
How are your like trips to the bathroom?
Yeah. Right? He's like a trapdoor, Craig. Everybody knows that.
Right. Well, no, here, I'll just say again that I only made it to South Bend, Indiana. Hopefully that helps answer your question.
That answer.
Okay. He had the yodels in South
Sorry,
Bend.
Craig. I did provide...
the yodels?
That's from a senator, guys.
Yes. Former senator.
You don't
warn. Yes.
He just outed me.
I did buy Craig a gluten-free beer to make sure... Because he didn't... Like, it was all just water. By the way, do you remember that Juan Morbite Rodriguez said he only uses warm water because cold water makes your throat tighten up. So that's good information.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that advice. Yes, I think Juan's going to get me to like 8 or 9 ribs in 4 minutes. I'm very hopeful.
8 or 9 ribs in just 20 minutes past South Bend next year.
Exactly. All right, Craig, go get some sleep. You have some more driving to do over the next few days. Thank you for checking in with us, and we want to hear from you tomorrow night if you're up for it. Anytime you want.
Okay, everybody sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Be safe.
Sweet dreams.
Here's a question, though.
Craig,
Four pounds of pork. Or is it the meat off the rib?
Yes, they
or
weigh
the... Or is it
weigh
the rib, they weigh the ribs before, after?
Clearly I had an answer, but he's going to carry on, isn't he?
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
They weigh the slabs of meat before the competition, and then they weigh the bones after. And then they take the difference.
I like the gravats. Very nice.
That's for the professional eating contest. For the amateurs, they do count the bones, and then the judges from the former champions, they decide whether or not the competitors have scraped enough meat off the bones. So it's more of a...
More subjective.
See, I should have jumped in on this because my dad, every time we would eat anything with bones, he would always be like, there's more meat on that. You got to get all the meat off that bone.
Yeah.
That's intense. I think the training of my father would have done well.
Are you entering the contest next year?
I should. Although the grease, I think that the grease is what gets
I got
you.
A guy, there's a trainer, his name is Juan Rodriguez.
Juan Morbite Rodriguez.
No, yes. I train every day of my life.
Okay, now Elif, I know we should go to a break here, but here's what I'm going to do. We're going to do one long segment here and take our listener who's been waiting for a while. Ron has a question about something you brought up previously, Warren, about the paint color for automobiles. Yes, Ron?
Hi, I just wanted to follow up on something that Mr. Pierce said. I'm looking at a Legacy, Subaru Legacy, and it's pearl white. What was the issue that you had with the pearl white? And my second follow-up question would be with regards to leasing. Why did you think that was a waste of money? Can you follow up on that for me?
Sure. Well, first of all, let's go to leasing. Leasing, if you have a place to write off the lease, you know, you lease a car. Most of the time, you'll get at the most a 30% write-off from your on your taxes for the lease. So, if you have a $300 a month lease, you know you can write off $100 a month for taxes, and that is a benefit. You also don't have to own the future of it, the depreciation of the car. You don't own; you just have to make your payment. So, it actually is not a bad deal. Plus, the maintenance; you don't have to spend any money on maintenance. So, those are great reasons to lease a vehicle. As far as pearl white goes, well, if you look at a pearl white car, brand new, and you stand on the side of it, you look at the front bumper and the fender and the rear bumper and the quarter panel, the paint doesn't match.
There you go.
Right off the beginning. That's original equipment. But if you have to repaint it from an accident, it's very rough color to work with.
There you go. Hope that helps, Ron. More after this on 720 WGN.
Oh,
That's perfect for us, Scott. I think it's kind of like you start out a little bit mellow and you ramp it up for everything that's happening this week. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Live in the Allstate Showcase studio, I am joined by Senator Dan Katowski, Warren Price of European and U.S. Auto Body at 4080 North Broadway, Carissa Schaefer, and Wiley, the sommelier. I don't know. Is it the sommelier or the sommelier? Sommelier extraordinaire. Carissa Schaefer, our favorite restaurateur of Knife and Tyne, 1417 West Fullerton Avenue, and they are celebrating their second anniversary with a brand new menu, and their happy hour starts. I'll be there tomorrow, as a matter of fact. I already have my table reserved. Could I do that on an open table? Just reserve a table. It's fancy.
It's so cool.
It's very cool. Scott, how are you doing this week? There's so much to cover. I don't even know where you begin.
It's almost too much. I mean, you go from the city to the state to the national scene, and you've got Hillary and Bernie not going away, and Trump somehow is the small hand orange man who's got the Republican nomination.
That's a weird way to put it. The small hand orange man who is also a bigot and hateful. And
yes.
Encourages violence. I was thinking about this before. I actually have gotten into arguments with people when he has said hateful things, not just about different people of different backgrounds or of
disabilities.
That's the one that for me is we all have our line that you can't cross, right? Where you cross the line, and if you support somebody who behaves that way and says really incorrigible things. To me, you can't say, I don't like what he says, but I'm going to support him anyway. I don't know what to talk. I can't talk to you anymore.
Oh, my favorite part of the whole arc of that story now is people who were saying, after he gets the nomination, he's doing an act. It'll change. He'll start acting more presidential.
But what does that mean?
No, of course. Well, it means you stopped using seventh grade insults.
But if it was an act, it was to garner the favor of people who feel the same way, right? Who that appeals to. So how is that even helpful to anybody?
It's not. This is a horrible, divisive candidacy, and hopefully the Republican Party will learn from it. Or he'll be our president, and I have to move to France.
France?
I've actually talked to a friend who's a French citizen, and he's going to put me up.
Okay.
I'm serious. Serious as a heart attack.
Why not Canada?
It's too cold. And the wine's not nearly as good. I don't like ice wine. Sorry.
Senator, is this the weirdest political season you've seen in your entire life? I mean, you spent 9 years as a senator. And have you ever seen anything quite to this level in politics?
No.
No.
And I as someone who's campaigned, and I ran in three different elections, the behavior that we've seen displayed is something that was never, would never be expected and
right.
never tolerated. And the media would literally locally would have crucified one of the candidates. When I was running for office, I remember distinctly being in a debate. And then afterwards, a whole group of people who were on my team and just saying, was he respectful? I was running against a woman, and they said, was he respectful? And how did he, how did I, and I said, well, I was fine. No, I'm going to ask the other people. And we asked women who are on my team and men on our team. But the whole point was, you could say things that were critical. You could say things that were, you can be strident, you can be passionate, but this level of discourse is just—it's the lowest. I never thought that I would ever experience this as an American citizen or someone who had been in politics to witness it. I never thought I'd see it at the state level as bad as it's been. I always thought that you get to Springfield, I'm like, okay, this is. I always talk about the better angels. You'll get to point, and never thought I'd see that. But I never thought I'd see that when people running for president would talk this way about people who were Americans,
right?
And say such disparaging, awful things. So to me, it's very stunning that we've arrived at this place.
Well, we'll talk more about this when we come back. And if anyone wants to join the conversation, please call or text us at 312-981-7200. Hey, Esmeralda.
Yeah?
You might be the luckiest person on this show right now. Because she is on the 7th floor, And she's enjoying some pizza, some chocolate cream silk pie. Chris, what kind of pie was that exactly?
What was that?
French silk. French
silk. It's delicious.
She is.
Was, because I ate it.
She is delightfully removed from our situation right here, which is, I love the people I'm in the studio with. It's gotten a little heated, but we've enjoyed some delicious food from Knife and Tine, as well as Warren Price of European and U.S. Auto has brought us some pizza.
That was from Michael's.
Such good pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've been enjoying some good food. And during the news, there was some yelling. Because, by the way, our sommelier, Wiley, is the one that's been kind of like taking it all in. And he's enjoyed some of the eye rolling and the counter. There was a little bit of this. There was a little bit of throwing stuff. And behind the I'm sorry, Wiley, your mic's on now. What was that?
I said he almost knocked over his glass too.
Yeah. Be careful, because do not shut down the entire station, because Elif and I are responsible for anything that happens.
I understand. I apologize.
Yeah, please.
I was doing the Formica.
Dave Ennett will. This is. It's not Formica. This is actually. It's a.
Faux granite.
It's faux granite.
What's that?
Very well put.
No, it's not Formica. It's something just a step up from that. Is it wrapped?
There's a step up. Somewhere between Formica and granite is...
What's that? It starts with a C. I can't remember what it's called.
It's fake.
It's not it's not marble. It's not wood. Senator Katowski, can you... It's been a while since I've shot for countertops.
I don't even know if my mic's on anymore.
Now it is.
Is it on? So it's... I don't really know. But I never studied this counter. So my wife is a kitchen designer, so she would know.
Okay.
Really? Is she really?
Yes.
I'll have to talk to her.
Me too.
So I give her my number.
No, you can't talk to her, Scott.
She doesn't work for Republicans.
I'm going to say that might be fake down there.
I don't think it is fake.
Might be fake, whatever it is.
Not
but
quartz.
It's not ours.
It's not
so,
quartz.
Don't spill anything.
It's for... Are you looking for a label?
So no, important. if it was for Formica, it would be wrapped. It would be like that. There's that layer that's kind of wrapped around wood. Formica has like a wrapped around sort of edge, but this is solid through and through. So it's not concrete. It is not marble. It's not quartz. Well, butcher block? No, it's not.
It's got to be something.
It's adequate.
Oh, come on, somebody help me
ceramic?
Out. With, there's something. There's one more, and I can't remember.
Teflon.
Okay, we're gonna move along.
Now I'm just making throwing words.
312-981-7200. What are my other countertop choices?
I'll Google
so
it.
Many.
This is so much better.
I'm so much out of my field of expertise right now.
Look, I can't Google it because on my screens right now are the numbers for what it would take for us to close the gap on our budget. So stop it. Corinthian, not Corinthian.
Solid surface.
Corinthians.
Not Corinthians.
Corinthians. Chapter 2.
What was that?
No, love is patient. Love is kind.
No, didn't Trump say 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians.
Corinthians, dos. And he's going to build a wall.
It's Corian. Thank you very much.
Corrigan.
Corian.
Isn't that a dog? This is made out of dog?
That's a corgi.
Oh, okay.
That was thanks to Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. It is Corian. I'm like Corinthians, and you all messed with me, and I was just one vowel off.
Corinthian.
I'm going to turn everyone's mic off and just talk to Wiley for a moment. Hey, Wiley, how are you doing over here? Are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Wiley.
All right. It's good to talk to you. You brought some wine. What's the cool little bottle there with like sort of an aerating aspect to it?
We brought in a Peron. It's kind of like a Spanish. It's from like the Catalan region of Spain.
Okay.
It's kind of like a decanter, but it's more of a vessel for drinking straight out of that.
You're supposed to drink right out of the spout?
Yeah, but you don't actually put your mouth on it.
None of your mics are on. Stop talking to him. You, Carissa, you can talk. I'm sorry. You can talk. Go ahead. So you're supposed to drink right out of this?
Yeah.
Why would I do that? That seems so dangerous.
Oh, no.
It's not dangerous.
No? Show her how it works. Show me how it works.
So you don't need to use glasses. You could just pass this around at an event, at a party.
Like a bowl?
Kind of. But you don't put your mouth on it.
You can talk, Scott.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, turn your mic off. Yes, Senator, did you want to say something? No? Good.
Yeah.
You're done.
It's almost like a reverse peace pipe.
Oh, I like that.
Because I feel like the peace probably won't be kept if you keep drinking out of it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Can we do this? Would this work in the legislature? So the reason that things got heated in here was I was trying to do the math. There is a $7 billion gap in our budget in the state of Illinois. And it was not $7 billion last year. It was about $3.5 billion to $4 billion. And it's not a gap. It is the amount of money it takes to keep our state running, all of our social services, education, keeping our roads safe, all the different things. And I guess does that include the pensions, the funding the pensions as well? Well, Senator, your mic is on. Yes.
I would just like to say, for the record, Scott and I were passionate. We weren't heated. We're very
heated. Can be, I need heat when I'm passionate. Yes, I get heated when I'm
passionate. But here's the point is that that you raised is that every month we have a $36 billion budget and we typically owe, just like any other business that's $36 billion, about $3 billion every month. And it got down to $3 billion. And so that's not
year,
that, yeah.
Ago,
so that really wasn't like yet bills that were significantly in arrears. That's what we owed, and that's what you should owe every month. You should owe $3 billion, 30 days, right? And so most of those bills within 30 days. So there's now it's not that situation right now because there isn't the revenue in place to address it. So,
I'm gonna have some of this wine, Scott. Yeah. Your answer to the, you want to respond?
No,
to
he's right.
You're not supposed to put your mouth on that.
Did you just hear that? Hold on, I was basket.
Is it porous?
Like, yes.
That seems a little,
don't sleep on Barrio.
That seems a little messy.
I would back away from the microphone.
Are you trying to help? Because he's reaching for it. Like,
Okay, Wiley, we please drink while they talk about politics.
Oh, here we go. He's going to show us how to do this.
All right. Oh, that's not happening. I'm not going to do this.
Wait, yeah. Do that.
Oh, you have to do that.
No,
you have to do that.
I'm not going
to
do that.
Here, I will do it.
You don't even drink wine. You can't.
Listen, I've been to church before. Oh, my God.
That was it?
That was it. That's
when you were catching rainwater.
So we are drinking. There you go. See, he did the same thing I did.
No, I didn't.
Please pass that off. All right, then.
He took a full hit, man.
I'm an expert. That's right.
The best ever.
Please pass that to Warren. Warren would like some video of himself drinking from the, what's it called?
A Peron.
Oh, it looks like a big, it looks like a fancy neti pot.
It can be.
Oh,
yeah,
stop it.
Best radio ever. I'm going to be in so much trouble.
My sinuses are totally clear now.
So how? Why are we drinking it? Why are we pouring it into our mouth from a height? Like a,
why don't you?
Is it affect the way you consume the wine?
No, I mean, the actual act of what we're doing, it's more of just a social way to drink the wine.
So, that was very impressive, Scott.
There's certain wines you'll put in there, and you'll pour like that into a glass to kind of aerate it and you know, open it up a little bit.
Chris is very talented at that. Well done.
I love the way you said that. She's very talented at that.
Until I comment.
We're going to a break.
I didn't mean to. Do you think that would work in the Senate if you just passed around a Peron for all of the legislators to, you know, before they make an argument?
Yeah,
before they respond to a debate.
I think it would work.
That
would
be kind of cool. I'd
bring everybody together and figure out a way. If you don't like it, bring lemonade or whatever.
Right, exactly. It doesn't have to be alcohol. It can
no.
Be, yeah.
I it's just amazes me with there are so many colleagues that I worked with got along with very well, and you could figure out a way to pass a budget, and we've done it in the past, and it should be able to get done. It's just one of these things that I think is so tragic right now in our state. It's just,
well, I'm not quite understanding the governor going around and saying, and I don't know if you're following this, Scott, that he's saying the Democrats have failed, they've not passed a budget, they won't meet with me on this temporary budget that I've proposed, even though a week before there was actually a temporary budget that was also proposed and he dismissed.
Right.
So I'm not sure what happened.
It wasn't to his liking. I mean, it didn't fit the...
But there was time to talk about it rather than the 12 hours before
there
the
is.
Deadline.
You know, I really believe this is, again, one of those... How can I say this on... over terrestrial radio, this is one of those disturbing moments where both sides are so full of crap and they're both just killing the clock until the election. Rauner thinks that he's dumping a bunch of money, thinks that he can make some headways in the Senate and make get rid of the supermajority in the House, Madigan's supermajority. He'll always have a majority. And I think the other side is playing the same game. And it's, you know, and then some poor kid who's with a disability down in, you know, Peoria, mm-hmm. is losing his services in the meantime. It's preposterous and it's hurtful. And I hope we throw all the bastards out, frankly. Republican, Democrat, it's a disgrace.
It is a disgrace. I don't know. I don't know where we go from here as far as throwing anybody out. If people are paying attention to their elections, some people are going unopposed. I know a lot of legislators found out the day I was there, actually. On May 31st was the last day to announce your candidacy. So a lot of them are actually not being opposed in their local elections. But if there is something, and I've talked to a lot of legislators, and tomorrow, by the way, we will have Senator Connolly and Senator Tom Cullerton in studio during our budget crisis corner to talk about their perspectives and what they have seen. And whether it's in the last year during their tenure as senators, you know, people will keep saying, well, this is because the Democrats have created the situation, or this is because the Republicans, you know, want to cut social services. Everyone has a finger to point. But here's my thinking is, okay, fine. We know what has happened. What are we going to do? Or we have an idea of what has happened. What are we going to do next?
How do you solve the problem? Right. And I think there's been a group that's been meeting for a long time. There's been a working group since a bipartisan working group, and they've come up with a budget, a proposed budget, and they have revenue, and they have spending reductions. And I think that what you need to do is have an opportunity to sit down and have a vote on it. Right. And if you can't get that, at least, you know, vote for the temporary fix, vote for a temporary budget, and at least get the organizations the funding that they need and the support they need. I mean, look, we were talking about this today, you know, the organization I work for, ChildSurf, and we were saying, well, what kind of questions should, when we talk to people, we go a lot of time, we talk to faith-based organizations, talk to churches, community groups, and what questions should you be asking your legislators about the priorities that you care about, right? And so the question is, okay, well, what is your position when it comes to funding education? Well, I support it. Oh, great. Okay, where are you going to come up with the money?
Right.
Are you going to vote for a budget bill that does that? I mean, do you support human services? Sure, I support human services. Okay, what human services specifically? What are your priorities? What are the programs that you think are working? Well, I think this is working. How are we going to fund it? And this is how we're going to fund it. See, the thing is, it's really not that hard. I've done it before. We've passed several budgets in the past. It should be achievable, and then I think to Scott's point, there's more than enough blame to go around. I think the time is just to work together,
and
get something done.
Absolutely, and just sit down and say. Obviously, pensions are the big stinking 800-pound gorilla in the audience and in the crowd. You have to in the room. I'm getting my metaphor mixed up. You have to address that, and you have to address it in a serious way. Every reasonable plan, Senator Dan mentioned, I think you were during the break, that they passed and the state Supreme Court continues to shoot down because for some reason this is in our Constitution, which is weird.
What way do you mean it has to be reformed? And going forward, the pensions that already exist or the ones
that we can't create
in the future?
That's a contract. And
right.
That's the thing. I mean,
okay.
Every conservative worth their salt will say that's a contract. You made a contract with that individual and you have to. You have to live up to it. But going forward, I think switching to a 401k or some other pension that's not quite as generous, or at least as large as these are, and certainly not subsidized by the state, to this degree. I mean, would you disagree with that?
Well, you even corrected yourself and caught yourself on the word generous, because we have people who commit themselves to different professions, right? Whether they're a teacher who their responsibility is to take care of our children, and they do. They take care of our children at young ages, and they educate them, and they're there for 8 to 10 hours a day, and they turn themselves over to them. Sometimes they are paying out of pocket for their supplies. For some of them, they make sure that they are fed, because these kids maybe come from low-income households. And they make sure that these kids are equipped, or they do their very best to make sure that these children are reading and writing at the levels that they hopefully have the potential to achieve. We have firefighters and police officers whose job it is to run toward danger when the rest of us would run. And we need their help, right? And we want those people to be there. We pay when we say, oh, I don't want to pay higher taxes, what are we willing to give up? Are we willing to give up our safe roads? Are we willing to give up our first responders? Are we willing to give up education, right? So when it comes to pensions, I don't know that it's generous or, you know, as you said, it's an obligation, it's a contract. And going forward, asking people to turn themselves over to those professions, it's important to maintain those obligations and those promises.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think any reasonable – well, okay, there are some, but I don't think any reasonable person would step forward and say those who are currently in the pension system, we're going to just cut your, you know, 30%. I mean, that's criminal. It would be – and also wouldn't stand up in a court of law.
Right. No, it hasn't. It actually was overturned by our Supreme Court when they tried to – was it the Senate? Or it was the
No, there was a bill that was passed, and there was a couple of bills that were passed, and one that was settled on was the one that was determined to be unconstitutional. But there's another bill out there that's a choice model where you choose someone who currently had a pension could choose between getting their compounded cost of living adjustment and not getting health care for free for the rest of their life. And that's one of the deals. And it's like, okay, this is the choice that you have.
Right.
But the point is it represents about 22% of the budget. And I was thinking about this today. You know, we're doing our health care plan for our employees at ChildSurf, and the cost is going to go up probably $102,000 this year just for health care. But when you think about that, then you think about you take the state budget, the pension costs are increasing by about $800 million a year.
Right.
Right. And you look at like what the deficit would be each year. But most people that you talk to who have a pension are willing to, you know, to make some kind of sacrifice given the challenges. But they also like if you've invested your money. Right. I mean, you're getting paid. You're getting deferred payment for work that's already been done.
Exactly.
Essentially what a pension is.
Right.
So, but that being said, most people say, look, I'm willing to, you know, to do my fair share, but as long as we figure out ways where everybody's in it together. And that's the model. It needs to be a team approach to this. And because everyone's getting hurt. The problem is there's a proprietary focus in saying, you know, you're not going to touch me. And that's fine. But meanwhile, right. those who don't have a voice and those who don't have the strength or the they don't have the support from a significant lobbying effort. Right. Those who, you know, parents are working two jobs and trying to take care of their kids who are struggling or have challenges developmentally or mentally or emotionally, they're, you know, they don't have that benefit. And so our job as public servants is to stand up for people who don't have somebody to stand up for them. And so
that's the main thing that you and Scott both meet on the middle ground.
Completely agree.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a matter of getting there. Let me take a quick break here because I know Elif is like, I'm just going to give up asking Patty to take a break. More after this on 720. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We have a full studio and we're having a great time, but we're also talking about important subjects. We have with us Scott Stantis, who is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Senator Dan Katowski, who is the CEO of ChildServe, helping at-risk children make sure that they can lead the lives that they should, have the potential and feel safe and comfortable, even if it means having a roof over their heads or having a mattress that isn't someplace scary to be. I mean, that sounds weird to people. Explain that a little bit. I know that you were working with Mattress Firm and some other organizations to make sure that kids have warm beds.
One of our problems that we had early this year, we had a lot of our kids, they leave for the weekend and they go and they stay at some places. And because of the nature of their life, sometimes they bring bed bugs back with them. And there was a problem that we had in some of our houses, and we had to take care of it. And we did. And we treated the homes for it. But then Mattress Firm was kind enough to donate mattresses that had basically a cover on them to help prevent bed bugs from from spreading and making a home.
Because you want to go to bed. That's the time you should feel safest, when you're feeling emotionally vulnerable.
But I want to say something. Can I say something about like this? So this week was really cool. We have this early childhood program, and it helps. We help infants to 5 years old, kids who are living in poverty, and we provide home-based services. So we go in the homes, and predominantly single moms, but we help kids and their parents to reach developmental milestones and get them kindergarten ready and make sure they understand healthy eating habits and safe and secure homes. It's the whole idea is to break the cycle of abuse and neglect and poverty. And we were able to get 660 kids to be kindergarten ready, right? Last year, which is great. Wow. But but what's so cool is we had a graduation this week that I went to. You go to these graduations. There's a graduation for everything right now, right? I had a graduation to bald school when I lost all my hair. For a party for me.
Right?
Is it great, Warren? We had a graduation for our kids and who've worked really hard in that program. And this is a program that is so, I met a lot of different young girls, young boys who are so excited and so thrilled about the fact that they're getting to the next level. And there's a great investment support. But here's the deal. We spend, as an agency, $2,400 per family per year, right? So it's a couple hundred dollars a month to make sure we get kids who are living in poverty to be kindergarten ready. And that leads to them being successful in life, right? If they end up being in prison, it costs taxpayers $30,000 a year.
Pay now or pay later.
Right. So one of the things I found out is that for kids, when they get to a group home level, if you're in a group home, if you don't have parents, we're providing round-the-clock care 24/7, therapist. We provide support, recreational, these are for teenagers, right? Vocational training. It costs $130,000 per kid per year.
Really?
Yeah, because it's so intense. Because there's mental health treatment. There's hospital issues. There's all sorts of things. But if you invest in the front end, it's $2,400 per child
to get them kindergarten
per
ready.
Year to get them kindergarten ready. And that's what you want to do. That's where you want to see the investment. That's a perfect example of like the return on investment. This is a government program. We get government support. Taxpayers support it, and it makes a huge difference in the lives of kids.
We have a listener who had a question about something we brought up earlier when we were talking about professions and the pension reform. Larry, what was your question?
Hi, good evening, Patty.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I started as a college professor at UIC in 1976 and retired thanks to Governor Edgar's generous actions after 30 years of working. But my concern is every paycheck that I received, I had money withheld and paid into the state SERS retirement system.
Right.
There was no, there's, I've received no subsidy from the state of Illinois. My health care is covered by Medicare, a federal program, and also starting in 1984, when the federal laws were changed, I had to pay into Social Security, even though under state of Illinois
you
law.
You can't draw on that, right?
I will never receive a penny of it.
Right. So what was your question as far as...
So the question is, where is the subsidy that I'm getting? That everybody keeps saying that pensions are being subsidized. Pensions are not being subsidized.
It's what you paid in. Right.
And I'm getting at a
higher rate than most people pay into their pensions.
Right. And you waived. I was unaware that you were paying Social Security only because I thought you waived that to enter into the pension program.
No.
Okay.
Just not eligible to receive it.
They pay into it. Yeah.
So, but let me ask this. I mean, the amount that you will take out, and this is, I don't have the math in front of me, and I apologize for not having the solid numbers, but the amount that you will take out far exceeds the amount that you put in over those 30 years. Is that right? Dan,
no,
can you help me here?
No. Not at all. That's not true. As an economist, I can tell you that that's not true, because the money, if I had taken it myself and invested it, like the SERS retirement program is supposed to be investing our money, our dollars, through the 1970s and the 1980s and 90s, when the markets blew up and the economy was going gangbusters, I could have made a lot more money with my money than giving it into the state retirement plan.
So it would have been far better if you had had a private account yourself and invested it yourself then.
Not even a private retirement account, just taking the money myself and invested it any way I wanted to.
Exactly.
So 403B or 401K would have been nonsense if I had. So when people are talking about that, I'm getting so much more back now. No, that's not true, because the state had my money from the 1970s and it invested it and was making returns, positive returns. So they were investing the money in a positive way, generating funds, and we're sharing in theory what was earned by the people running the plan. I don't know what people are talking about in terms of subsidized health care or getting extra money back. It's money that was earned. It's
most people don't understand that concept, Larry, that you loan the money to the state and that give the state the opportunity to invest. And so it's also predicated on a performance that's averaged about 8% a year.
That's right.
And so to the point was, it's like, you know, people would say, well, if you had invested the money on your own, you know, you would have made more money. But, you know, when the markets collapsed, you also wouldn't have had the protection that comes from being invested with a group. But the point is, you bought into the notion, which, you know, my father was a community college teacher, is that, look, I'm taking less, right, in my salary so that I can have a retirement. But also, I believe in the concept of investing
in my
government.
State. Yeah.
Investing in my state so that we can invest in education, invest in families, invest in the future. And that's the notion. I think it's lost on people.
I think it's a lost notion now.
Ella's head's going to explode.
Okay.
She's like, I don't know how I was left in charge of this show. Larry, I am super late for news. Did you want to hold on through the news or do we have the conversation to your satisfaction? You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We're saying goodnight to Warren Price of European and U.S. Auto Body at 4080 North Broadway. Thank you very much for stopping by with Michael's Pizza. He's tired of being in the crossfire between me and Carissa. Carissa and I are about to just wrestle with each other across this board right now, because she's all like, I like white wines, and I'm all like, I like red wines. And then Wiley said, why don't you have some rosé? And then we felt good. Good night. Yes, the Thin Mints are all yours, sir. Thank you so much. Senator Dan Katowski joins us in studio. He is also the CEO of ChildServe. That's ChildServe. Leave the E off.
Yeah, where's the E?
Because the work isn't done yet.
Their work is not done yet. Go to childserve.org for information on how you can help children at risk. We also have Scott Stantis, who is the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune. And we have Carissa Schaefer, who's celebrating the second anniversary of Knife and Tine, our favorite restaurant here at Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. And Noah Wiley.
Well, it's raining like crazy out there, so.
Wait, he's down there?
No, not Noah Wiley. Just Wiley.
Esmeralda, don't get excited.
That was the weirdest brain fart that I've ever had on the show.
How did you get to know Knife and Tine? What's the love story there?
The love story is, and Larry, hold on one second. We'll get back to talking about pensions. I started my show in 2014. Senator Katowski was my very first guest on a Sunday night. There was a restaurant that would tweet at me once in a while and like retweet stuff or favorite things. And then one night, and they hadn't opened yet. I was just getting these tweets from K&T. And then I had ordered a pizza on the air one night from Domino's. And we actually called Domino's and we're tracking our pizza as it was being made. And Carissa, she tweeted at us, "Don't ever order a pizza again. I will bring you food." And I said, "All right, bring me some food." And it was amazing. she brought pies, like just the most amazing food I had ever eaten in my life. And we also had live band karaoke that night, and we had such a great time. We've been friends ever since, celebrating her anniversary for a while, monthly. And then we all get busy, and I have her on whenever she wants to, and whenever I'm like, "Hey, can you come play tonight?" and I ask her to come play tonight.
What a great story.
So that's what happened.
That's lovely.
And Wiley's like, not Noah Wiley. So
it's so like a Hallmark movie.
Unfortunately. It was fantastic. Thank you so much, Chris. It's been so much fun to be your friend.
Aw. Thank you. It's been fun to be your friend, too.
We play What's in the Box sometimes. Sometimes I go to her restaurant, and I pull the reviews, and we watch people do the... what is it called? The unwrapping? The deboxing? What's it called? Elliot was fascinated one night when we were watching people open up their things.
Yep.
Larry, you've been waiting very patiently. We were talking about pensions, and you were a professor at UIC, and we were talking about, you know, people often think, and Scott alluded to the contracts, the obligation that the state of Illinois has with the people who entered into these agreements, that you pay in, and then it's investing in the state and basically saying, later on when you retire, this will be here for you. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, that money was not reinvested the way it was supposed to be. The pensions were not funded into the 80s, into the 90s, into the 2000s.
It was shorted. Right.
It was used for other things. It was used as a credit card. And no one was really given the information. No one stopped to think, well, what are the implications if we... Yes?
The Chicago Tribune editorial board did. Just want to throw that out there.
Did what?
Has been mentioning that for 20 years.
And it was happening since the 19... Like, not just since the 1980s. Back all the way to the beginning of the 1980s.
And it was a wonderful, and I say this sarcastically, collusion of groups down there.
Right.
Even people who are involved in labor agreed to do it. And I think people in the leadership in the state thought it was a good idea. And people who were elected officials who were not leaders of the state all agreed to do it.
Right.
Was it just short-sighted politics that led them to do this?
Was it the cynicism? They were giving? No. It was short-sighted, but it was the idea of, we're going to have more money, give this impression that we are putting more money, investing more into education, because this is like one of those, you know, immediate costs that's on the books. Like, everybody has a bill, they have to pay a mortgage and all that other stuff. It's like, okay, we're going to pay less. And then, so we're going to have more money to invest in education.
And we're still paying our mortgage, but at some point
we're paying less.
Right, we're paying less.
We're still paying less than that, but pretty soon the bank is going to come calling, which the bank has. When you look at right now and you see, I think the reflection of the fact that, you know, that our ratings has gone down. It's not just the fact the budget's been passed. It's just that issue hasn't been
reconciled. Hey, Larry.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, didn't mean to. I know that I want to remind everybody that you're there. What else did you want to add to the conversation? I don't want to leave you hanging.
Well, I guess the basic idea is I volunteered to pay into the Social Security system because I had been hired prior to the Reagan administration changing the rules in terms of requiring everybody to pay into it. I accepted my responsibility, knowing full well that I was never going to see those dollars back unless I moved to another state. And that's a point I wanted to also bring up. Other states do allow, for example, North Carolina, you can be in their state retirement system as a professor at North Carolina State, et cetera. and collect Social Security at the same time. We in Illinois, our legislators never passed the legislation to allow that. And secondly, the state legislators did pass legislation which stopped any of the state universities or community colleges from rehiring as part-time teachers once they retired. We can no longer work for state schools for some crazy reason that they're afraid that we're going to be overpaid and we're going to be drawing what they call double dipping, which it's not double dipping, what the usual euphemism is referred to when somebody gets two salaries or two retirement programs. They passed legislation down there 4 years ago to stop us from behind. So all of us were fired from our part-time teaching jobs who were retirees and had to find other part-time jobs if we wanted to stay involved as educators. And so now I'm working at a Catholic university here in Chicago, the largest Catholic university in the United States, rather than back at my alma mater and my former employer because of the silliness of our legislators.
Hey, Larry, can I ask you a question as an economist? I'm sorry, this is going to get into the tall weeds for just a second, but I also want to know what Dan thinks of this. Illinois is kind of not really talking seriously about this. California is, Alabama is, and a lot of other states that don't tax retirement income are talking about taxing retirement income. Do you have is that a good thing, bad thing? As an economist, what do you think? I mean, and as someone who is retired,
Who's retired and an economist, I think it's a good thing.
Really?
Yes. Simply because those were tax-free dollars that I paid into, or before tax dollars that I paid into the state retirement system. So getting them back, I should be paying some tax on it.
The idea of that to encourage you to invest in your retirement, taking you off as a burden conceivably on the state or on the federal government or the Social Security system? And so that was the idea that it's tax deductible and pre-tax deduction. So, that makes sense. But you think still taxing at the back end is the right thing to do or is a good thing to do? Would you have it at a certain level? Let's say you're getting...
Yes.
Your income, you've been very smart, and your income is very high.
Right. That's the thing. I think if the state were to do it like the federal government's been doing, imposing tax on Social Security for the high recipients, the high amount recipients, I think that would be an appropriate activity, especially given that the state is in such a money crunch. Again, maybe I'm too... sympathetic to the needs of all the people of the state, and I've always been that way. That's why I stayed in the state with a lower salary at UIC than what I could have gotten, you know, going to other universities and other schools. I mean, in other states. But I think it's the right thing, and sometimes you have to do the right thing as opposed to the most popular thing. And so I would support something like that, but you know, no one really thinks it through in the sense that there might be
no one thinks it through.
Right, I know, Larry. Thank you so much for calling, and I hope that
I'm a big fan of yours. I've listened to you, I think, since day one, and I've been fortunate enough to get the two of your Lou Malnati's gift cards over the years, so I enjoy and
aww,
and
thank you.
I'm angry with your Senator Katowski because I would have voted for him for governor unless he's setting himself up to be the one to run. That's why he got out of the Senate.
I've been trying to convince him of that, but he has taken the time to both devote himself to helping, again, families that are at risk and spending time with his own family so that he's not at risk.
Mostly to make the long green from that sweet, sweet nonprofit money.
That's very true. Larry.
You can make a ton of money as governor as the Dan Walker would prove, and Jim Thompson,
and Blagojevich.
Please don't
Golden.
Cite anybody who's been incarcerated.
Yeah,
Larry. Hey, but Larry,
but Jim Edgar's good company.
Thank you for what you had to say. It's a, it's an honor to hear that,
and
it's because especially people like you who devoted your lives to making sure that young people were educated and they had every opportunity to be successful.
And it's Larry, someday explain guns and butter to me, okay?
We'll do it.
Appreciate
it.
You too. Coming up after this, we're going to talk summer wines and barbecuing, and we're also going to play a special round, a surprise round of What's in the Box. Esmeralda, I have sent you some of Roger Badish's reviews, and I hope he doesn't mind if I shared those with you. So you can, I think he's got different categories, so you can go ahead and pick those randomly. Senator, I've given you the easiest thing. Are you leaving? You can't leave. Okay, good. More after this on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200 if you want to play What's in the Box, coming up after this.
Oh, summer wild.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And a special alert, we are playing What's in the Box tonight after the 1:30 news. 312-981-7200 for your chance to play What's in the Box. We have a gift card from Apple Electronics and a gift card from Lou Malnati's. So you can go to loumalnati's.com for some of the greatest pizza in the world and go to aptelectronics.com. And when you go to Apt out in Glenview, say hi to our good friend Steve Shapiro, who always helps us out. And now, Senator Katowski, I was going to call you Dan. That was weird. It was weird for me. I don't call you Dan.
Why?
Because, Senator, even when I text you, you can check my, I can show anyone my text. I still, like, I say Senator. I can't not. And I, you know what, Wiley, when I text you, I'm going to say Doctor.
Doctor.
Doctor Noah Wiley.
Doctor Wiley.
Doctor. He doesn't even know who Noah Wiley is. Did you ever see A Few Good Men?
He told me I looked pale.
He's in that movie, too. Not that you would remember. He's the really nervous witness who is asked, like, how do you know where to go to lunch?
We just watched it the other day.
Yeah, he's a very nervous.
He was in ER.
He was in ER. Well, that was so. His first big break was in A Few Good Men. Am I making you nervous? Is that why you're standing? Because I'm standing.
No, I just no.
Is it good?
You're leading. It's really good.
All right then. You don't have to stand, Scott. It's okay.
Okay.
It's
awkward. Well, I don't think this mic stand would.
Oh, that's right.
Held together.
We should probably sit back down. I feel bad. Noah, as a small, like, what? How do you become a sommelier? Because I'm Noah. I did it again. Didn't
Just say it's doctor.
Doctor
to you.
Well, now I can't stop. Like before, I've never called him Noah ever, and now it's not Wiley to me anymore. Wiley's a good name, by the way. Is it a family name?
It's my dad's name. Yeah,
it's a very good name. I like it a lot. How long have you been a sommelier?
I don't know.
Can you come closer to your microphone?
7 years.
At least, yeah.
Do you know how long you've been married? I feel like we're asking you all the wrong questions.
I've been married five this
right,
year.
Then. All right.
Oh, good work, doctor.
I only know because we got a bottle of wine, our 5-year wine we got to open. Otherwise, I wouldn't know.
All right. Then. Do you have a favorite? I mean, after you taste a bunch of different varieties from all over the world, is there something like, okay, I just need a nice Malbec or I need a nice...
I think like my I guess, favorites would be either an older Brunello or an older Rioja.
Oh, Brunellos. I think you were the ones that introduced me to Brunellos.
Really?
I think so. So for barbecuing, the people generally have, let's say, a slab of ribs. Is there something that like is nicer, like more refreshing when it's hot out? Because wines can be a little bit, red wines especially, can be a little heavier when it's warm out.
Some of the ones here, we have the white, any lighter white, crisp wine for the summer is good. It's refreshing. Rosés, a lot of people, that's the summer wine is rosé.
Are rosés a little more sweet, or does it depend?
No, I think people think that a lot because of the blush wines that you see come in the box.
Mm-hmm.
But a rosé... If it says blush, it's probably going to be sweet. If it's a rosé, it can be real fruity and mm-hmm. fresh, but it's not sweet or sugary. It's like a bright, fruity wine. They're really good in the summer. But you can get red wines that aren't bad even with a little bit of a chill on them,
right.
Especially in the summer when you're sitting outside. You don't want to drink a hot.
I always chill my red wines. I just, no matter what it is, even if it's wintertime, I always have it.
I mean,
they
should be kind of cool, or, you don't want them 80 degrees if your house is that hot, but.
Right. No. Do you keep your house hot sometimes?
But sometimes wherever your wine is sitting, it might be.
Whose house is 80 degrees in the summertime?
Definitely not ours.
Yeah, not mine.
Much.
There are people. My mom.
My house is a giant steam room.
Everyone's is it?
No. Everyone's wearing terry cloth robes. It's
wonderful. I go down. I get like, it's like I move in slow motion sometimes in my mom's house because I walk because upstairs is like cold. Oh, yeah. We live in a two flat with my mom, and my husband keeps it. My mom said one day, she goes, I woke up at 5 a.m. because your husband turned down the air conditioner. It's very loud in the basement. And then I couldn't fall back asleep. Who is that hot at 5 o'clock in the morning? The sun isn't even up yet. How can he possibly be hot at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Does he
it's
like
May.
The noise?
It's May. Huh?
Does he like the noise? Does he like the noise?
The hum of it? No, uh-huh. My husband, it's really cold in my house. And I've just learned to accept it. Like, there have been times when I've had a fever and the chills. And like, I walk by, we have these vents. We have central air. And it's just blowing cold. And it pains me when there's cold air blowing. I'm like, I can't. And he's like, well, just don't stand in front of the vent. I'm like, it's in every room. It's cold. And if I close the vent, he's like, what are you doing? It's hurting me. It's physically paining me right now to have cold air blowing on me.
See, my wife, she said, I used to like to have a big fan. The problem is she gave me a little fan to be at the bedside. And then I was like, okay, well, it's fine. I just like to have the noise. And
that's your white noise.
That... Yeah. And so but now she's like, well, why do you have it on? I'm like, you gave it to me, right? You gave it to me. She's like, but you have it on every night. I'm like, well, that was the compromise. I had the big fan. You give me the little fan. I got it on. And now you're telling me now I can't have it.
So, you can't have it.
So then I like put it on. So she's like, can't we just go one night without the little fan? I'm like, you gave it to me. It's like you enabled me.
Yeah.
Well, now you're taking it away.
How long have you guys been married? She should be used to the fan.
20 years, September 7th,
love Dan. Love the fan.
See,
that's
he knows
what
the exact date here. How many years?
As recent even.
Yeah, we're going
this week?
We're going to Quebec.
Quebec? Yeah. Ooh. When are you going to Quebec?
They almost speak French.
It's over
there.
The yeah, September 7th weekend, I think, if that corresponds.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Don't look for me.
Carissa, in your house, is there a temperature issue for you guys, for you and Dr. Wiley over
here? Yeah, no. Dr. Wiley likes it really cold.
Yeah, what is that? Dudes.
I don't know.
What's happening?
Oh, no, I like it cold. Yeah.
Dudes.
You sleep better. You sleep better in the cold room.
That's true. That's a scientific thing.
Yeah, that's actually science.
Yes.
Don't care about science. I want to be comfortable.
Yeah, no, I'm freezing in my house. I'm freezing all the time.
I got this thing with my toes are cold now. You know what I mean?
But I don't need to know about your toes. It's too much information.
I like it to be cold. What?
At our age, it just works its way up from there, buddy. I'm just
no, stop.
You
don't
now.
Even say that. The circulation.
My knees are
okay. Quick question: can you sleep with socks on? Because I cannot.
No,
I don't care how cold.
God, no.
I can't. I can't. You do?
I can do it.
So live with that moment. He can do it. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Santis, one of the greatest cartoonists in the world.
Aww,
I'm not just saying that lightly. I actually believe that. I actually believe a lot of things, and that's one of the things I believe.
Aw, thank you.
Actually, I don't believe a lot of things. I'm a cynic. I don't believe a lot of stuff.
You should be.
But I believe the things that I say
He's
sometimes.
He's the best cartoonist I know.
Well, that's the one. Also, the one of the...
Thanks,
no, no, no. Dan. Here's the thing. No. There's... And in all seriousness, and not to make things a little bit heavy, one of the greatest things, before we ever met, one of the greatest pieces of artwork that I had ever seen was in response to the violence that football players were being accused of. It had come to light under the national microscope, I would say, of the media. When will the beating stop is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. So that is from Scott Santis. That was before we ever met. And I thought it was remarkable.
Oh,
it was moving. And, you know, the thing is that sometimes that can move the needle when it comes to conversation. So that's why I say one of the greatest alive. Also one of the greatest politicians I know. And that's also but I've met a lot of politicians now and I watch a lot of TV. And Senator Katowski, seriously, the state of Illinois is lesser without you serving in the legislature.
Are you going to run for office again?
Ooh, see, there he goes.
I think so.
Okay.
You should.
Oh,
but okay. I'm a stand-up philosopher.
Yeah, we're standing now.
But like I was saying,
your microphone's not working.
I won't stand.
Servant. So this will not stand. I said, "What, you politician?" I said, "I'm a public servant. I serve the people."
And again, it is really a show of my favorites because my favorite restaurant in the city of Chicago is Knife and Tine at 1417 West Fullerton. They're celebrating their second anniversary, and it is absolutely my honor to have in studio with us Carissa Schaefer, yes, who has created such a destination for not just food but atmosphere and the people that she employs there, including her sommelier, and he's her husband, Wiley, who joined us in studio. They're the ones that will be reading the reviews, as well as Esmeralda Leon, my favorite traffic reporter as well. Then don't tell everybody else I said that, but you're so much fun to have on my show. We have three contestants on the line, and I kind of feel like we should let all three of them play because I have enough prizes for all three of them. So I think that works for everybody, right? Let me welcome them to the show. We have Zach. Hi, Zach. How are you doing? Zach?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing very well. Have you ever heard us play What's in the Box?
Say again?
Have you ever heard us play What's in the Box?
No, this is my first time listening to the show, basically. So, yeah, it's a whole new experience.
Oh, this is exciting. Okay, hold on one second. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Okay. I'm doing good, Patty.
Have you ever heard us play What's in the Box?
No, I have not.
Oh, this is very exciting.
Wow, she'll be gentle.
We have all newbies. Hold on one second. We have three. This is our first time taking three contestants at the same time. Hey, John, how are you doing?
Fine.
Have you heard us play What's in the Box?
Oh, yes. Oh.
I almost feel like having John explain it to everybody else, but I will help everyone. I do a lot of shopping online, and I rely on the reviews that people provide because I'm fascinated by them. I generally try to go with things that have 4 stars or more on certain websites, and I was surprised to find out how similar some reviews seem to be for appliances and items that I might use when I'm by myself. Actually, you can use them when you're with somebody else as well.
Or with a friend.
Whoa. Yes, Senator Katowski, you didn't know
what's this all about?
Adult toys. Yeah. So, yeah, or massagers. Let's just say massagers.
Just because we're doing sommeliers, we can say massagers?
Massagers, yeah. So there are items that are... Look, these items are in personal health care.
You know what that sound is?
What?
That's the sound of my...
Your career?
Future yeah. career.
Yeah. Why don't you take a seat then? All right, we're going to start...
Dan Kowalski.
So starting us off, Esmeralda has Roger Badish's reviews. So Roger, if you're listening, I have passed them along to her so that she can read them. And Zach is up first. Here you go. So Zach, Mark, and John, your task is to tell us, from based on this review, if you think it is an appliance or a toy. That's all you have to answer, appliance or toy, okay?
Okay. All right.
Sounds good. All right, Zach, you're first.
Okay. My husband was very, very picky. I know, LOL. We tried two others. This one is great, looks good, and works great.
Oh, boy.
What do you think, Zach?
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, toy.
It's an appliance. Here you go. See? It's surprising to find out what these sound like. Wiley, will you please read for Mark?
Yes, please, Noah.
Yes.
Read for us.
This is from the doctor.
You got to come closer.
All right. The controls are usable when it is in. The controls are usable when it is in use, but due to the physics and the angles, it isn't the easiest to make sure you have the correct button.
It's got to be a toy.
Yeah, man, it's a toy.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. Mark is the first one with a number on the board. Mark is ahead. Scott, will you please read for John?
John. You there, John?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Great product. Size is perfect for my needs.
I'm sorry. What do you think? It's been a while since we've had an adult
one. We are entering adult topics here.
Well done, Aleph. Well done.
You have been warned.
Should I reread it? Reread it?
John?
It's an appliance.
You're right.
It's an appliance.
John, woo.
By the way, it's also for Mark, so they are tied. John and Mark are both on the board. There we go. Mark and John have one each. Carissa, will you please read for Zach?
Hi, Zach. Are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay.
I pondered and pondered, do I need this? Is it too large? I absolutely love this. It is surprisingly lightweight, but it feels and functions as high quality, but probably should have gone up to the next size.
Wow.
Zach, this is your chance to be on the board.
I'm on board. Flying.
You're right.
Hey, well done. It's a three-way tie.
Nice.
It's a three-way.
It's a three-way.
I said tie.
We have an appliance for that.
Dan Katowski. Please read for Mark.
Dear Lord, forgive me for a moment. Very well designed, aesthetically and functionally, it's powerful, it's fast, it's easy to use, and it's easy to clean, and it's beautiful.
What is it?
You are correct.
Hey,
oh, Mark takes the lead.
He does take the lead. It's Mark is ahead with two. Esmeralda, will you please read for John?
Hold on. Okay.
She's trying to get in the character.
I was like, wait, which one?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I had one for years, and when it died, I had a hard time finding one that worked as good. I even switched to a manual for a while. This one is even better than my original.
I love this. I hope no one drives off the road, by the way, whether they're playing or otherwise.
Driving.
I know.
I'm going to say it's an appliance.
Yes.
Hey, it's John, correct? So that's two.
Yes.
All right. So John has two. Mark has two. Zach has a chance to get two as well from Wiley.
It was so good, my daughter stole it when she moved out. I need another one. Maybe that would have been better in a female voice, but
No. Go ahead, Zach. What do you think?
I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, appliance.
Well, he's like, thank God. It is a three-way tie.
It's a three-way again.
Exactly. Scott, will you please read for Mark?
Yes, Mark.
By the way, it's the first one to five. Best of five.
Is that okay?
Yeah. It's going to be a long round.
Good Lord.
Okay. We might go best of four, depending on how late we go. Go ahead.
This is a bit bigger than I imagined, but it was doable. Do I need to repeat that?
Mark, what do you think?
I'm going to go with a toy.
You are correct, sir.
All right. Mark is ahead. Somebody said cheese. All right, that was Mark. He's ahead with three for John. Carissa, will you please read for John?
Hi, John.
Hi.
Okay. I just received this item yesterday and opened it today with my girlfriend who knows all about these. It will not turn on. Again, it will not turn on.
I'm so angry.
I'm going to say that's a toy.
No, it's an appliance.
I'm sorry. Dan Katowski. Do you see what I've dropped there?
Thank you for constantly restating my name for the audience.
Dan.
Duly noted.
Our good friend Dan. Will you please read a review for Zach?
So far, so good.
That's it, by the way, Zach. That is it. So far, so good. Yes, that's it.
Oh, yeah. All right. It's a 50-50 then.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is it a toy or an appliance?
I thought he said oi.
He's a toy.
Oi.
Oi.
Oi. It's an appliance.
I'm sorry. Mark continues to hold the lead with three, while John and Zach have two. Esmeralda, will you please read for Mark?
Sticks well to flat surfaces, so it doesn't go bouncing across the floor when I'm trying to wash it. Sticks well to flat surfaces, so it doesn't go bouncing across the floor when I'm trying to wash it.
A toy.
Yeah.
That was Carissa. I believe the squeal came from Carissa. We've dropped the bell. We've dropped the bell. Okay. So Mark is ahead four. John has two. Zach has two. Wiley, let's see if we can help John catch up.
All right. It does what it's supposed to do, and I love that the cleanup is easy, but the thing is loud. If you buy it, you'll see what I'm talking about.
That's got to be an appliance.
Yeah.
There we go. Good job, John. All right. By the way, loudness is a problem regardless of toy or appliance. Go ahead, Scott. Can you please? Okay.
Zach, come on, man. You're coming from behind here, as it were.
Don't say that.
Yeah, I didn't say that. That was not.
The device will remember that last setting you selected. So if you do turn it off in a panic, put it out, change the setting, then put it back in.
Sorry, but no, that's appropriate. I'm that's kind of like. Is that an appliance?
No, it's a toy.
Oh.
Warning. We are entering adult topics here.
All right, Carissa, I believe we're... Mark, it's your turn, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, Carissa, this could be for the game winner, oh just gosh. So you know.
Okay, Mark.
Oh Mark is ahead four.
Okay.
Yes.
This is a fabulous machine. I had a much smaller version before, but it doesn't compare to this behemoth. Nothing it can't do. Wow. And very well made.
Oh, what do you think, Mark?
Appliance.
You're right.
Yay! You all win, by the way. Mark is going to get both an Apple Electronics gift card and a Lumel Nauties gift card. Zach and John will both get Lumel Nauties cards. Thank you all for playing so much. We appreciate it. Have a great evening. You. Of course,
thank
my pleasure.
Thanks,
guys. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
I almost turned my own microphone off. It was so good. Thanks, guys. I know. It was that was our first time we've ever had three contestants play. More after this on 720 WGN.
Don't.
Every night, well, we've called you, actually, but not as part of our... Every single night, we're calling a legislator and, you know, just reminding them that we're here. We're paying attention to what they're doing. We've called quite a few on both sides of the aisle.
We Am I supposed to pick up when you call?
No, not at all. Okay. No, actually, we would feel bad if you... Have you seen the phone ring? And oh, and yes. Dismissed it.
I'm just like, I'm watching Mead TV. Yeah.
Scott, we've called you as well.
You have.
And
I didn't pick up because
Scott
I have,
and I were on the phone together.
We were
debating politics.
Whether or not you should answer
Mead TV,
the phone.
It was like, you know. That is because they're cousins, identical cousins. And yes. They're a crazy pair.
We haven't called you, Carissa. That will happen. I'll have to bother you sometime. Wiley.
I won't pick up the phone.
No,
you
Doctor.
Nor should you. We've called Leader Lou.
Have you?
Yes, we have. We have called Representative Martwick, Representative Feigenholz. We probably will call. We've called a couple.
Senator Berkman, you called.
We called Senator Berkman. Do you know about that? Were you here when we did that?
I was.
Oh, okay, cool. We called Senator Representative Cabello. It's actually Cabello, but he doesn't go by that name. That's fine. Yeah, that's how you pronounce his name.
Thank you.
Well, it's just easier to say Cabello. For most people.
Yeah. Also, doesn't that mean... That means hair in Spanish.
Yeah, it does. Hair. Cabello.
Cabello?
Cabello.
Cabello means hair?
Yeah.
Well, I think it depends.
Hair. Yeah.
Well, it's how you say it. Well, I'm sure it's how you spell it, but...
Cabello means gentleman.
Caballero.
Oh, caballero.
Gentleman. Caballo is horse. And then cabello is hair.
His is cabello.
Well, it's hair.
To keep bringing up hair.
Sorry.
Yeah, everything was going well.
You know, all of us have plenty of hair. Yeah. I don't blame us.
Some people need hair to be beautiful. Not you, of course, but others.
As soon as Elif is done with one of our contestants, we will have her call the phone number that I have provided to her. It's a representative that we had on the line during the last few moments, actually. He was the first representative I talked to after the midnight deadline for the session for 2015.
Why didn't they stop 2016. The clock? Because they could have stopped it.
I don't know. Well, why don't you ask when we get to the legislator's voicemail? Elif doesn't know that that's
unless
what
he answers.
Unless if he oh if he answers that'll be
Let's
weird.
Let's see if he does.
It's gonna be so awkward.
You just hear like strip joint music in the background.
Whoa! What does that sound like?
I don't know what we're accusing.
No, wait a minute. What do you mean stop the clock? Like in a game?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
there's
exactly.
Is there a big clock they have first to
down?
Run up and hit?
Right. If you get a first down and someone calls a timeout, can you stop the clock on the legislature?
Yeah, the clock has stopped in the past where even though it hits the 12, it stopped the clock in the chamber.
All right. Well,
is it a big clock where they hit the
It's a monster clock. It's like Big Ben.
Elif, will you please on the air dial that number that we provided to you?
We all wear it around our necks. We're
it's
like
our last call
flavor
of the
flaves.
Show. See, I mean, what was that?
I said we're like little Flavor Flaves. We have clocks.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That would be great.
You got that? Thank you.
I would go all the time to Springfield if that was the case.
Why do you think I go? They're all a bunch of fools down there. It's a lot of fun to watch. You're not there anymore. What do you care if I say that?
Hurtful. There are some
There's some wonderful people. Scott, you got to come on the fan van with me next time.
I know. I was supposed to give you some dates, and I didn't. I was a bad person. So
that's all right. I was supposed to respond to your text, and I didn't. I'm a horrible human being.
Now we're fair.
There was like a half hour of apologies last time. It was too much.
It was about Knife and Tine. I was going to try to get to, and I never told Carissa I was going to try to get to her restaurant that day because I shouldn't have even put it out there because I knew it would be hard to make it. The day of the Beyonce concert, the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. Here, hold on a second. Let's put this on the air so we can hear. Representative Sandak, this is Patty Vasquez from Pretty Late on WGN. We're talking to his voicemail right now.
Oh, his voicemail?
Yes.
I thought that we heard like...
We were trying to leave. Every night
TV.
We leave a mess. This is the most awkward last call we've ever done on Pretty Late. But we are calling legislators every night until the budget crisis is resolved. We just wanted to call and say hello. Scott Santas from the Chicago Tribune is here.
Good to meet you.
And up in traffic, we have...
Esmeralda Leon.
And over here, sir, we introduce
Dan Katowski, formerly a big fan of your work.
not the Dan, but another one.
Formerly a fan?
Why? Still a fan.
He keeps things interesting in the legislature. Oh, we don't have time. Representative Sandak, we will call again. By the way, if you have an opportunity, please send me the number of another legislator. This is kind of a pay it forward moment. You can choose someone on your side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle. We've called so far Representative Kifowit, Senator Berrickman, Senator Connolly, Senator Tom Cullerton. So please give us a number that you think should be called. And we only leave a voicemail. We don't intend to get anyone into an argument or anything like that. But just want to let you know that we're listening and paying attention.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Representative Sandak, be nice. We need
He's nice.
Oh, he is sometimes when he wants to be.
All right, then. Scott, do you have anything? Any last thoughts for Representative
Fix the budget. Jeez, how hard can this be?
Very.
Apparently.
Out.
A pair de moi.
I want to thank all of our guests tonight. Carissa Schaefer of Knife and Tine. Also Noah Wiley. Our sommelier. I know. You know, he starred for so many years on ER and now he is retired and has an animal reserve and the sommelier business on the side. Thank you so much, Wiley, for helping us out tonight. Senator Katowski and the CEO of ChildServe, helping at-risk families and children. Thank you so much for all the work that you do.